Welcome to Food Freedom Radio. I'm Laura Hedlund, a student of nature-led gardening and a person who knows we need to change the food system from the ground up. The soil is so full of life. Christine Sprunger, an assistant professor of soil health at Michigan State University, points out that a teaspoon of soil contains more life than there are humans on Earth. That's how alive and complex the Earth is. Yet monoculture industrial approaches has, quote, and I'm quoting now, has long been associated with loss of essential nutrients and soil erosion. This has led to less carbon in the soil and more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, writes Springer. So while most Americans eat, so the way that most Americans are eating right now results in soil depletion, water pollution, it's creating a climate crisis. And of course, the standard American diet, SAD, is also causing a host of individual health problems. So how do we change the dominant food diet? It's only one bite at a time, right? So on today's show, we have an activist that's working to change the food system from the ground up, Mykela Jackson, which is also, she also goes by the name Kiko. She's the owner of Kiko's. So hi, welcome to Food Freedom Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. I've been so excited learning about you. I've really enjoyed the articles I've read and seeing your work because it just seems so in tune with what the world needs right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Super dope. Super yeah. Happy to be here.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about your background.
So I am from South Minneapolis. I grew up with two parents from Griffin, Georgia. They moved up here looking for jobs and resources, and that's kind of how I grew up. My mom is a huge foodie. She cooks a lot. I grew up watching a lot of Food Network with her. I grew up in the kitchen with her. And through, you know, being around her 24/7, I grew into a foodie as well. It wasn't until I turned 19 that I was introduced into the vegan lifestyle. And after just going cold turkey and diving into it, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, the benefits of it was amazing. I did, like, vegetarian challenges when I was younger, and my sister, she showed me, there was a British show called Kill It, Cook It, Eat It, and that kind of, like, really turned me off about, like, our food system and, like, how animals are treated and the condition of the food by the time that we get it, and it inspired me to do a lot of vegetarian challenges. I used to go vegetarian for, like, 30 days. My mom used to, like, buy me soy milk and tofu, and I never knew that it would lead to me actually being vegan. But like I said, after I transitioned at 19 and I felt the benefits of the diet, I was like really amazed by it. I was like feeling way better, having way more energy, having a lot more mental clarity, having a lot more just feeling way more interconnected with the people and the earth. And everything just seemed like a wonderful bliss. It was like taking a mushroom, one of those trippy mushrooms, and just seeing the world and everything's brighter. You can hear more. You can feel more. And I was like, I think this is something I'm going to stick to.
So. Beautiful. And then you stumbled on something called the alkaline diet. We're going to talk more about that later, but just give us a little overview.
So when I first transitioned, I was taking Dr. Sebi's cell food, and essentially it's a capsule that contains medicinal plants in there, and those medicinal plants have an alkalizing effect on your body. The alkaline diet in totality is a diet that consists of foods that have a pH of 7 or greater or have an alkalizing effect on the body. Essentially, our blood remains alkaline, and that's called homeostasis. It's at like a 7.4 pH level. And when your body has an alkaline environment and you're taking care of it, you really have vitality in your healing system, which is your lymphatic system. It's able to combat different toxins, remove things out of your body that's not supposed to be there, and pretty much just heal any ailments that come about. But when your body becomes too acidic, it causes mucus to get clogged up, and that backup of mucus restricts the cells' access to oxygen, electrons, and minerals, which fuel the cells, and eventually those cells deteriorate and die. And that's what we call disease or ailments, is when those organs aren't getting those essential nutrients to be able to regenerate themselves. Dr. Sebi, he did not, like, create the entire diet itself, he actually got his teachings from Professor Arnold Arendt, who, like, was studying the blood and its effect on different diseases and ailments. And then he, like, just put together the theory that mucus is disease, to, like, simplify it all.
So, like, dairy can be very mucus-producing, yeah, for example. So the basic guidelines or the basic diet is plants and legumes and ancient grains.
Yeah, so fruits. It's pretty simple. Like, everything that was here before agriculture and, you know, GMO manipulation, I feel. So it's all natural foods. Some of the items on there are crossbreeds, just due to the fact that they're most common and they're the least detrimental to the body.
Okay, we're going to talk more about this. But again, so you attended Ramsey Elementary, Washburn High School, and graduated from South High School in 2016.
Yes.
And then you landed in Chicago with a friend who was vegan, and that kind of changed. Because at home, you did not eat a vegan diet.
No, I literally was not vegan at all. Like, I was the type to eat anything. Like, I used to try – I've tried frog legs. I've did crab legs. Like, I would try anything at least once, because my dad, like, introduced me to seafood. And I was like, ew, at first. And he was like, how are you going to say you don't like something before you try it? And since then, I've just always been like, okay, well, I'll try it first. And if I don't like it, I don't like it.
Cool. And so then somehow you transitioned this to doing a business. So describe your first vegan pop-up that you did.
So the first 6 months of being vegan, I had no idea what to eat. I was eating salads and I was eating roasted veggies. And as a foodie, I was like, oh my gosh, I am so tired of this. Like, I want a real meal. And so I started exploring a little bit more in the kitchen. I was looking at cooking videos. I was buying cookbooks. And, you know, the more and more I stayed in the kitchen, like, the better my food got. And I had my friends try it. They really liked it. I had my family try it, and they really liked it, which they were, like, the main ones I was more concerned about, because my mom and dad, they know how to throw down. So, you know, it was just like, all right, well, if they approve of my food, then I might really have something going for me. And my friend, when I came back, two of my friends went vegan because, you know, they knew who I was before and they knew that was not even anything I was thinking about. So, like, it really inspired them to, you know, explore their own journey. And one of them had started a YouTube cooking vlog. And my other friend was like, you know, like, we really like that. I feel like you can do some other things, though. Like, I feel like you can do it, too. And I'm like, I should try that. So then I started a food blog on Instagram, and essentially it was just like going through my journey, just telling people how I was feeling, showing them different recipes, you know, showing them different herbal mixes and the teas that I was drinking. And that slowly built a following. A lot of local people were interested in that, and they were like, okay, well, we would love to try your food, is like the thing that I kept coming across. And I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to take this serious, I want to do it the right way. So I did my research. I came across NEON, which is Northside Economic Opportunity Network. And it's essentially a business incubator of all businesses, but they had a food business incubator and a business advisor named Ann Fix. So I went and talked to her and I was like, yo, this is kind of what I'm doing. You know, I'm interested in sharing my food with people. And she, like, put the emphasis on, like, North Minneapolis is a food desert. Like, we need healthy food, and I think you would be the best advocate to, like, try to initiate this plant-based movement over here. And I'm like, I'm down for it. I want to do it. What do I do? And so, you know, she put me in a food business workshop. She told me, you know, I need to get a business account. I need to register my business, pretty much all of the basic stuff. And when I went back and told my mom was like, okay, you know, because I've always been like a tenacious, like, let me try something. So, you know, I've had a lot of different trends and phases throughout, you know, my little childhood. And she was just thinking it was maybe one of those things. But she was like, if you're serious, which you sound pretty serious, I'll give you $1,000 if you go register your business and go get a business banking account. As soon as you get your business banking account and your license, I'll put $1,000 in there.
I absolutely love this. It's so cool. And how old were you at that time?
19.
19.
Sorry. 20.
Yeah, cool.
20. Cool. Yeah. And cool. I was like, all right, And
did
I went
she
and
ever
did
regret loaning you that $1,000?
Of course not. Cool. Of course not. She was just like, wow, I was able to do that for you. And, you know, like, I plan on returning it 10 times fold. But, you know, like, now the fact that I've been doing this for, what, 5-6 years now, it's like, okay, and it's really growing. It's really, like, becoming something else, like, bigger than myself. And, you know, my family and my friends very much so support it.
That is so beautiful. Okay, so you did your first a plant-based pop-up in North
yes.
Minneapolis. So tell us about how that went.
So it was like a birthday gift to me. It was 2 days before my birthday when I planned it. And it was really beautiful, but it was hectic. It was my first time. Like, I had like 50 people show up. I was cooking all the food by myself. A couple people that was supposed to be there to help me had like backed out last minute. And I was just running with like a chicken with my head cut off. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I had to cook the food and take the orders and do this and do that. And I'm like stressing and crying. And my best friend, he came with his family and they were like, oh my God, calm down. This is beautiful. This is amazing. They put their stuff down and they just started helping me. And they were like, his mom was taking the orders. And it was funny because his mom went up to my table of my mom and aunties and she was like, yeah, I'm her auntie. And they were like, that's not our sister. and I was like, no, like, that's my best friend's mom. And, you know, like, they're pretty much family. So she was taking the orders. I was in the back cooking. My friend was getting pictures. He was helping cook. And then I had my other friends come and they were in the kitchen as well. So it was very nice. I had a really good turnout. The food came out a little late, maybe like 30 minutes late. But everybody was very happy to support. And I got to talk to them about the plant-based lifestyle.
Beautiful. So we're talking with Kiko, an entrepreneur, a plant-based chef, an herbalist, an artist, and an educator. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Talk about what's coming up next for you. Welcome back to Food Freedom Radio. I'm Laura Headline, a student of nature-led gardening and a person who knows we need to change the food system from the ground up. And in studio with me is someone that's doing that, Maikia Jackson, and she also goes by the name Kiko. Welcome back to Food Freedom Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So in the first segment, we were talking about at 19, you did your first vegan pop-up, and it was chaotic, but it went well. And then tell us about what happened after that.
So after that, I started doing more pop-ups, but I was still working at Mercy Bar and Dining Room at the time and also Simple's Kitchen. And so, like, as I was exploring my own, like, chef abilities in a real restaurant setting, I stumbled across Trio Plant-Based. And I read about their story, and I was, like, really impelled to, like, go work for them. And so once Lewis Hunter became the sole owner, I went to apply there. And about, like, a month after being there, I was promoted to the head chef. And I was like, yeah. And I was, like, very grateful for the opportunity and was able to curate their current menu. And it was a very amazing, like, opportunity to, like, explore my own food business. And it was really tough for us. It was a little bit short staffed, so it was just me working all the time as, like, the chef, and then he would sometimes be cooking, and then we had our general manager and, like, just, like, two servers. So all of us was working so hard to, like, make it successful that I ended up realizing that I didn't really want a restaurant. You know, I had thought in the beginning that, like, I was going to have a restaurant or a cafe. But after being in that industry and actually seeing behind the scenes how, like, hard it was to, like, maintain and do things, it kind of shifted my focus. I still wanted to feed the community, but I wanted to educate them more so as well and provide them with the proper tools to be able to cook for themselves.
So mention the location and some of the food that some of your recipes that you're most happy with there.
So the location is 610 West Lake Street on the corner of Lake and Lindale. And I made, so he kind of had a base menu and I pretty much like reinvented the burgers. He already had the soul food. So, like, I put the soul food together, like, in a soul bowl is what they, for your soul bowl. And then I also made some, like, pretty trippy burgers. So, putting,
but it's all vegan.
All vegan. Right. So putting mac and cheese, ranch, and hot sauce on a burger. I also did the barbecue pit burger, which is two fried onions, pepper jack cheese, and barbecue sauce on a burger. And I also made the barbecue jackfruit roll. Super delicious.
And, of course, we're using the word cheese, but it's all plant-based, so
all
it's not dairy.
All plant-based, all vegan.
All vegan. Okay. So tell us about your new effort now that's going to be opening in April of this year.
Yeah, so through the education aspect and being like really engaged with the community, I was realizing that like it's not the fact that people don't want to eat healthy, it's the fact that people don't have access to eat healthy. Like it's not very affordable. In North Minneapolis specifically, it's a classified food desert. So that pretty much means that within a 5 to 10 mile radius, there's only two primary grocery stores for people within that neighborhood to shop in. That is Cub Foods and North Market. And then there's also Solo supermarket, but that's more meat-based focused. They don't have the best quality produce, in my opinion. So when I noticed that, I was like, all right, well, how can we support people to be able to transition? We need to educate them because there's so much miseducation around food and health and nutrition. So I just wanted to create a health and wellness space for people to be able to not only get these resources but get the education as well. And working with the community, there's already so many amazing initiatives like Project Sweetie Pie, Appetite for Change, Minnesota Youth Farm with Marcus Carr, a lot of food-focused groups that are already working towards building urban agriculture and getting people involved in growing their own food. And I just wanted to tap into that ecosystem and build it up and incorporate plant-based lifestyle into that. And I did a little bit of research on how to do that because I eventually do want to have a brick-and-mortar bodega that is a worker-owned co-op for people to be able to establish in their own neighborhoods and communities. But on a smaller scale, doing the FTP bodega, which is a similar concept to the Community Fridge Network in New York. So during COVID in New York, a lot of community members, a lot of activists were trying to figure out, well, inflation is going crazy and people need food. How do we get that to them? So they worked with different businesses, churches, and other organizations to establish these community fridges, which have a take what you need, leave whatever you can policy. And I was doing my research and there's like over 200 fridges in New York. And I was like, wow, these are organized by community members. These are organized by organizations, but primarily it's the community. It's a mutual aid initiative where the community is driving this. And I was like, if we could bring that concept to Minneapolis, specifically North Minneapolis, I think that would be amazing for people to have access to free resources in order to elevate our collective consciousness. So,
wow. I love that. Take what you need, bring what you can.
Yep.
It's probably an old-fashioned idea.
It is, because, you know, some of us have way more than we need and some of us don't have enough. So if you have leftover canned goods, if you have a big catering that you didn't use at all, like let's pack that up and let's give it to people that need it, because there's people out there that need it, whether they're unhoused or whether they're living in low-income households where they don't really necessarily have enough for everybody to get seconds. And, you know, it's making sure that people have exactly what they need. And, you know, you realize that some people know that they have more and they want to give back, but they just don't know how to, you know, like how we don't really know about some of the food shelves or food banks. And some of them don't even take things from outside. You know, they have very specific rules and regulations on how they're distributing that food. And so this just makes a way for community members to be a part of that change.
So there are a lot of directions I went, but I love that word bodega. Yeah. And I was privileged enough to visit my friend in Costa Rica years ago before she passed. But bodegas were all over the place.
Yeah.
So what are bodegas in case?
So a bodega is like a corner store, but they usually have like a deli in there. Essentially, it's, you know, they're very common in New York, but it's really just like a corner store with a deli.
And I mean, the idea of a bodega that would carry fresh produce, plant-based meals, and these herbal teas, information, cookbooks, plant-based meats and plant-based cheeses, plant-based milk, so vegan stacks. So it's just a little bodega that's all transparent, that's all good, healthy food.
Yeah.
I love the concept.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, but what's opening next month in North Minneapolis, and how does it work, and where it's located? And
that's the FTP Bodega. FTP stands for Food Trap Project. That's kind of the grand, big scheme of everything. And the bodega is just a small shed-like structure that is going to be in front of Sanctuary Church on Broadway and Aldridge. Essentially, it's going to have a fridge in there and some shelving in there, and it'll be open 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. During those times, people will be able to come grab supplies, food, resources, and also it'll be a hub for educators, healers, and organizations to post kind of the healing workshops that they're doing, or, you know, the different classes that they have to provide for the community as well.
So tell us a little bit more about that. How does that work? And so people can just bring if they have leftovers? I mean, how's that going to work? Because I know it's, I mean, you got to be careful of food safety. You got to slow down. And
yeah. So we're going to have a food pantry that's going to host all of our donations. We're typically, a lot of everything that's going in there is typically going to be from businesses and organizations for that food safety matter. But if people do bring food, we really want the community to bring, like, more dry goods for it, but we will have labeling available for them if they do bring food, like meals and things. We're going to have containers available there. We're going to have gloves there. We're going to have the proper labeling so they can put the ingredients on what's in there, any allergens that's in there. But primarily, if people want to make a donation like that, we would want them to kind of coordinate it with us first so we can have it in the pantry and kind of do that all of ourselves and then put it out there. But right now, we're still trying to figure that out 100%. We do have information on there that will say, please don't put anything that you yourself would not eat or you wouldn't feed your children. We don't want any expired food. We don't want any food that contains a lot of chemicals or that's already eaten off of. It's really just like food that is fresh.
Food that's fresh. So if you got a CSA and you had a really busy week and wasn't able to cook, but it's new, then that would be a place you could take some of that produce.
Yep.
Or if you've got an abundant garden, you can take it there. And
yep.
Place to share the food that you have. And
yes,
if you're hungry, you can go there and grab what you need.
Yeah, and we do, we pick up donations Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 2:30.
Oh, wow. And now, how are you doing this as, like, as a nonprofit, as a business? And
so this is part of my nonprofit. Kiko's Kitchen is my business, but FTP Initiative is the nonprofit. At first, it was just going to be just a mutual aid organization, but I realized that in order to get specific grant funding so that I can actually buy other specific resources that I want to put in there, I kind of had to make it a nonprofit.
Okay, so it's fascinating that you're doing this because, again, the food system, we're going to need to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the problems with the dominant food system and how do we make a world that works for all, and this idea of a bodega and healthy food. And we can take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Food Freedom Radio. I'm Laura Hedline, and very pleased to have in studio Mykela Jackson, who also goes by the name of Kiko. So welcome back to Food Freedom Radio. And remind us a little bit about your background. You did a vegan pop-up at age of 19, and then you became a vegan chef. And now you're trying to, but you are opening a bodega. So tell us a little bit more about that.
It is a community bodega, so very similar to the Community Fridge Network in New York, all 100% free resource hub that will bring plant-based education, health foods, and tools to the Northside community.
And it's located on?
Located on Broadway and Aldridge in front of Sanctuary Church.
So is it outside in front of there? And it's open any time? Or how does that
work?
Yep,
it's going to be outside next to their light pole. It's a shed-like structure. And within that structure is a fridge and some shelving. It'll be open 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Wow, that is so super cool. And so what made you think of that idea?
Since I started doing my pop-ups, I was getting free produce from somebody that was working at the co-op. So all of my meals were pay what you can. I was doing free meals and nothing was over $10. So people could get a full alkaline plant-based meal for $10 or less. And I was also able to give out free produce because I wouldn't use all of it to cook. So that whole concept really brought community together, and it embarked a lot of conversations on how people wish that they could do a plant-based lifestyle but didn't necessarily have the funds or the access to do a plant-based lifestyle. So I was just trying to figure out, like, yeah, I still have a business, but everything I want to do is for community, and I don't necessarily want to charge people for things that I think are a basic human right. So when I was doing my research on different organizations and different systems, I came across the Community Fridge Network in New York, and I was like, okay, that's it. That's what I want to do. I want to bring that concept here, but I want to focus it on health and education.
I read one sentence from you. I'm not sure if I can find it in the notes, but somehow the money always works out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, once I found my purpose, like, the universe has aligned with me very much so. Like, whenever I feel like, you know, I'm struggling and only got these couple dollars, here goes something else. And it's like I'm constantly working towards making sure that I have the financial security to make what I'm doing available. But, like, sometimes these grants just, you know, I've had people send me grants last minute. I fill it out. And then next thing you know, I'm getting it. So it always finds its purpose. It always finds its way.
That's beautiful. So tell us about the Alkaline Diet.
The alkaline diet is something, you know, brought to popularity from Dr. Sebi. It is a theory that mucus is disease, and essentially it focuses on keeping the body alkaline, because when the body has an alkaline environment, disease cannot really manifest. The body is a natural healing mechanism, and so making sure that we're contributing the proper foods to make sure that it can do what it naturally does, essentially. It consists of plant-based items like legumes, ancient grains, fruits, vegetables, and these either have a pH of 7 or greater or have an alkalizing effect on the body.
So, and I don't endorse any one diet because everyone's body is different. But I do endorse a way that eating it in a way that honors water and healthy living and the soil and respecting life, this kind of coming alive that is our birthright and learning about that. So I did look at, like, the Cleveland Clinic had some comments about the Alkaline Diet, and they're, of course, a leader in health and wellness. But and they do say that the Alkaline Diet is based on an unproven notion, but they say one of the big pros is these are basically really healthy foods. I mean, you're talking about eating vegetables and fruit and healthy ancient grains. Yep. And so talk more about but if someone's used to the standard American diet, it can seem like impossible to eat that way.
For sure. I think part of when you do embark on your healing journey, is what I like to call it, is decolonizing your way of life, essentially, because there's a lot of things that we've been miseducated on. There's a lot of things that contradict the natural way of life. There's a lot of ancestral practices and culturally different things that have been kind of exiled out to create this standard Western diet and medicine, mantra. And it's part of, like, really knowing your body, learning your history, exploring how these basic things contribute to something far greater, because it's like all of them, we run on minerals. So all of the minerals are found in plants, and plants metabolize these minerals for us to be able to actually fuel our cells. And so once you, like, take a deeper dive into medicinal plants, take a deeper dive into how our body actually functions, and then just take a just acknowledge the fact that Western medicine and food does say that fruits and veggies are good for you. And we keep forgetting that, like, all of this other thing that we're calling food isn't necessarily food. It's a food product. So it has some food in there, but then there's all of these preservatives and chemicals and other things that our bodies do not need that actually become very harmful to us. So it's kind of like taking all the extra stuff out and just going back to the basics, which allows your body to, you know, operate at its optimal level.
And one of the cons is that that the Cleveland Clinic said is that this type of diet can be so costly. But that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just because we're living in a capitalistic food system. And, you know, these things grow out the dirt. And, you know, when you harvest them, you have seeds to grow more. And we are so far from removed from growing our own food that we have somebody who is charging us, you know, 10 times more than the food products that they're coming out with, you know?
The plants freely give their seeds. The sun freely
shines.
We've got water. Yeah.
All of this is supposed to be free. All of this is, you know, supposed to be like our right to be able to grow our own food. But, you know, a lot of people don't have access to land. A lot of people don't have the knowledge to be able to farm the land. And we have to really take a look at the economic state of some people because they're at a systematic disadvantage as far as building that income to be able to not only feed themselves but feed their children as well.
And it's really not a wise practice because as a nation, we spend so much more money on health care. Mm-hmm. And we all know that eating more fruits and vegetables would make us healthy.
Yeah.
And so many kids, and I know, I can think of one person, love grapes. Mom can't afford grapes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
So we need to find a way of making the food system work for people, work for each other, work for the soil, self-sustaining and sovereignty.
Support your local farmers. There are so many great farmers out there that need our support that, you know, have to rely on the government to be able to give us the food. And then that comes with a whole bunch of pesticides and herbicides that they're forced to use because they can't, you know, get their own. They don't have enough support to, you know, sustain it themselves. So.
Right. And especially when you get into some of these ancient grains. So I was surprised with the alkaline diet. Like I love oats and I get the oats from the co-op, from the bulk bin. So it's very affordable. And one thing I like to do is boil apples with some cinnamon and some nutmegs and then add the oats. And I actually make it for like 2 days. But like oats would not be allowed on your diet or?
No. The alternative for oats would be spelt flakes or kamut flakes. And they look like oats, but they're just made from a more ancient grain that has magnesium, zinc, potassium, phosphorus, calcium, things of that sort. So they're more nutrient dense as far as the minerals and the vitamins that you can find within them.
But here's another systematic issue is that, you know, because farmers could grow that and make money. Farmers don't grow and make much money off of things like oats. I mean, I know some farmers are like, I'm doing everything to do it organic. It's actually organic, but there's no place for me to sell this food. So how do I do it?
That's why I really want to create down the line the bodegas, the, you know, worker-owned bodegas, because it's like if we had real health food stores that focus primarily just on really healthy things, I think that would kind of help, you know, bring more options like these in the regular markets. If they see that there's a drive for this, you know, then they'd want to stock it on their shelves.
Well, yeah, and the idea of just a small bodega that has the essentials of a vegan plant-based diet, maybe in the service stations or, you know, having that partnership. It's a beautiful concept. So another one of the cons that the Cleveland said about the Cleveland Clinic said about the Elkin diet is that people may not get enough nutrients like protein, iron, and calcium.
I can't say that that's entirely correct. You know, I've been very healthy and, you know, a lot of plant-based people are very healthy. People don't understand that protein is just the 9 essential amino acids, and you can find those in other foods as well. You have to practice a well-balanced diet with a variety of different foods, and you're typically eating more on a plant-based diet. You have to get those nutrients from various vegetables and fruits. And you can also get them from herbal teas. That's primarily where I get a lot of my minerals from, or from my teas. In the morning time, I drink about 21-ounce glass of herbal tea, and that's typically consisting of Irish sea moss, bladderwrack, burdock root, dandelion root, yellow dock. These are very high in iron, essentially, magnesium, zinc, selenium. You can get every mineral, vitamin you can get from a plant, and you have to also, be healthy as far as like your lifestyle, the way that you exercise, the things that you put into your body has chemicals in it, so you have to monitor that. And then you also want to make sure that you're getting enough sun, because vitamin D and exposure to the sun allows mineral absorption as well.
Beautiful. We're going to have to take another break. We'll come back. We have to talk about vegan recipes and what you do a vegan pantry. But very pleased to have in studio with us Kikos and doing a bodega and having these bodegas with healthy food all over the Twin Cities. Let's make it happen. You're listening to Food Freedom Radio on AM 950. Welcome back to Food Freedom Radio. I'm Laura Hedlund, and in studio with me is my Kila Jackson. She is the owner, and she also goes by the name of Kikos. So it's been a fun conversation. You did a vegan pop-up in North Minneapolis after your mom gave you $1,000 and said this, and that was when you were 19. And now you've got this concept, and you're going to be opening next month a bodega, which is a again, tell us what the bodega is.
I love the community bodega, which is 100% free resource hub, giving plant-based food and education to the community.
100% free. And you can also support it by, if you have too many vegetables, you can something like that.
Yeah, you can donate vegetables. If you're a food business or a caterer, you can donate meals, or you can just volunteer to help clean it up or pick up donations for us as well.
Cool. And then there's an art show coming up. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So the Benefits Art Show is essentially an art show to raise money to put back into the resources that will be going to the bodega. It is comprised of myself and six other Black artists. We have a live band performance from Soul Flower. They are so amazing. And then DJ Yancey will be carrying out all the vibes. So it is at Modus Locus Expansion, which is 3338 University Ave Southeast. That is from 2 to 5 next Sunday, March 17th.
Next Sunday, March 17th. And if you're ever listening to anything on any AM 950 shows and like, well, with that detail, it went too slow, you can always go to the podcast and listen again. But just give people the address again and the time of that event.
Sunday, March 17th from 2 to 5 p.m. at Modus Locus Expansion, which is at 3338 University Ave Southeast.
No reservations, just show up.
Yep, just show up.
Cool. And then you also have a GoFundMe campaign going.
Yes, the GoFundMe is also just to raise money for the resources that's going to go back into the community, because it is entirely plant-based. There are certain things that we don't get donated that we would like to have in there that's essential.
Okay. And we got to do some vegan recipes. So tell us how to, if for people who are trying to even experiment, some vegan recipes. And
so I don't have any recipes right off the bat, but I can, if you're looking for like an egg alternative, garbanzo flour with black sea salt on there, and just a little bit of spring water. You just whisk that up, add your veggies to it, and put it in a pan and pretty much cook it like eggs, and it tastes pretty similar.
Boy, can you imagine a nice little local farm that can be growing some bean flour that we can be using as an egg supplement?
Yes.
And then this is something we want to make sure we talk about. So what is this?
That is plant-based chicken made out of oyster mushrooms. Pretty much you just cut the mushrooms up, wash them, and batter them like you would your chicken batter, and fry them up. That's pretty much the baseline of them. Put your essential seasonings in there, maybe some sea salt, onion powder. I have this special jerk seasoning that I use as well. And dip them, pan fry them. You could throw them in the oven, or you can also put them in an air fryer.
Cool. And so these are available at restaurants now, and are you selling directly this too?
So I sell directly via my website. That's www.keikosx.com. I sell them directly to customers, but you can find them at Trio Plant Base, which is in Uptown on the corner of Lindale and Lake Street. And then it's also at Tamu Grill, which is over in Cedar Riverside, a Kenyan fusion restaurant.
Cool. So 4 minutes left. What's your idea of food freedom?
Food freedom is racial, economic, and environmental justice to me. It's all very interconnected. And by identifying historical systemic issues and also trying to bring people together through natural ancestral practices and supporting one another by collectively bringing together resources can really enhance the quality of our food system and make it self-sustaining.
And healthy and fun. And so one of your slogans was real food for the soul.
Yeah. So soul food is very common. It was made by Black people. It is one of our like most prized possessions, you know. And unfortunately, it's not very healthy. So just trying to reinvent soul food to make it food for the soul so that it actually nourishes us mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Love it. And what is the connections between soul and food?
Well, you are what you eat, essentially. And during slavery, Black people were given scraps. So with those scraps, we made soul food. We cook with our heart and we cook with a lot of love, a lot of light. And we're very connected to the land. So like, you know, we use everything and we make sure that it's nourishing. You know, there's a lot of time, there's a lot of effort put into the meals that we create, and that heals the soul, essentially.
And it seems like at this time, that's what we're really craving, a shared healing and being healing. And sure. Food can do that, right?
Yeah.
Food can create these places of love and connection. And and so again, what is this? How do you spell your website name? And
keikosx.com.
And the opening community bodega is opening in a month.
Yeah, that'll be opening mid-April is what we're thinking. Right now, we're in the process of creating the structure. And then I have to go paint it and make it look pretty for you guys. but you can keep up with that on the Food Trap Project on Instagram. And then if you're looking for more educational tips on how to eat healthier or, you know, incorporate healthier things into your lifestyle, you can follow us on TikTok. We have a lot of educational videos, and that is Keiko's Bodega. So Keikosx Bodega.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And the art show again, the date of that?
Art show is Sunday, March 17th from 2 to 5 p.m. at Modus Locus Expansion.
So so what do you view for the future? What are you hoping?
So my end goal, honestly, is to create a pathway for generational wealth while trying to empower my community to elevate the collective consciousness. I really want to establish the bodega in other majority Black communities, indigenous communities, to try to give them a pathway to these resources. And then my end goal is to buy land in rural Jamaica and also create a Black expat community for people to, you know, be able to have ownership, an alkaline retreat so people can heal, and also do farming on there so we can have those tropical fruits that we don't get in the United States.
Wonderful. It's all about living soil and living people, and remembering the whole purpose of being here is to find joy and love and appreciate this light and to spread it.
Yeah.
And when we spread it in the food system, everything will be okay, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That was just like the perfect summary. I'm always telling people, just be more, like be the change that you seek. Spread love, spread light, and you'll see it come 10 times fold.
Absolutely adore it. And so thank you so much for listening to Food Freedom Radio. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a beautiful day.
You too.